Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to break down complex business tools and really pull out the useful bits for you today. SWOT analysis.
That classic four-box grid.
Exactly. But forget just filling in boxes. A lot of people treat SWOT like, I don't know, a team-building exercise. List some strengths. Feel good. Done.
Right. A checklist.
Today, we're showing you where the real value is. It's all about how those boxes collide, the intersections.
That really is the mission for today. We're looking at internal capabilities, strengths, weaknesses, and the external world opportunities, threats. But crucially, how do these interplay? How do they give you actual, actionable strategies?
Yeah, right.
Because fundamentally, SWOT is it's a framework. It helps align what you can do internally with what's happening out there externally. That's how you stay competitive.
So two worlds. Inside the company, things you control.
Strengths and weaknesses.
And outside the company, things you react to.
Opportunities and threats, the market, regulations, stuff like that, things beyond your direct control. And we're going beyond just listing them today. We want to see how mixing them guides your next move.
Makes sense. And SWOT pops up everywhere, right?
Yeah.
It was probably one of the most common tools for like strategic planning.
Oh, definitely. Planning, new product launches, entering a new market, even organizational change. It's often that first reality check.
A snapshot of where you stand.
Exactly. But for that snapshot to be genuinely useful, it can't just be a summary. A good SWOT needs, well, it needs three things.
Okay.
It has to be realistic, no sugarcoating. It needs to be data-driven, based on evidence, not just opinions in the room.
Right. Avoid the wishful thinking.
Precisely. And most importantly, it must be action-oriented. The whole point isn't just to say, here's where we are. It's to figure out, so what do we do now? How do we focus our resources effectively?
Okay. Theory's good, but let's make it real. You mentioned using Tesla as a running example.
Yes, I think Tesla provides some really clear, relatable examples for each category. It helps make it concrete.
Perfect. Let's kick off inside the company then.
Right.
Strengths. What are the internal positives that give Tesla an edge?
Well, their strengths are pretty significant. First off, that brand. It's incredibly strong globally, almost like a tech brand, not just a car brand.
Yeah, huge recognition.
And tied to that is the image. Premium, innovative, the EV manufacturer, they really own that space early on. That first mover advantage is a massive strength.
Okay.
And their whole focus, their DNA, is zero emission tech. That's not just a product feature. It's an internal capability that fosters serious customer loyalty. You can't just buy that kind of alignment.
All right. Internal advantage is clear. Now the flip side, weaknesses.
Mm.
What are the internal limitations or challenges for Tesla? Our sources flagged a couple that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, the first one seems basic, but it matters. Profitability hasn't always been steady. They only really hit consistent profitability around 2020. That history. Well, it impacts how much they can invest internally, right?
Sure. Constrains resources.
And the second one is fascinating strategically, their open source patent policy.
Yeah, yeah. That's a controversial one.
It is visionary, maybe, for pushing the whole EV industry forward. But from a purely competitive standpoint, you're essentially giving away some of your core tech secrets.
So it weakens their unique edge over time.
It potentially erodes that proprietary advantage.
Yeah.
So you could definitely frame that as a self-imposed strategic weakness, even if the intent was different.
Interesting. A philosophical strength that becomes a competitive weakness. Okay. Let's step outside Tesla's walls now. Opportunities. What's happening externally that they could really capitalize on?
Oh, the opportunities are massive. You've got this huge, growing global demand for electric vehicles that's driven by everything from climate change awareness.
Right, public pressure.
To actual government policies actively pushing for sustainable transport, tax credits, regulations.
Yeah.
Plus, there's still huge potential in untapped global markets. Places they aren't strong yet, and maybe critically, the opportunity to diversify their product line. Think about reaching middle-income buyers who want an EV but can't afford the current premium models.
Big potential market there.
Huge.
All right, finally, the external storm clouds. Threats. What dangers are lurking out there that could hurt Tesla no matter how well they operate internally?
Number one has to be competition. It's heating up fast.
The big legacy automakers are finally waking up.
Exactly. Ford, VW, GM, Hyundai, they're all launching serious EV contenders, and they have massive manufacturing scale and existing dealer networks. That's a real threat.
Okay, what else?
Raw materials. There's a widely anticipated shortage, or at least price hike, for key battery components like lithium and cobalt. That could seriously inflate their production costs.
Right, hitting the bottom line.
Definitely. And then there's the broader infrastructure issue. The lack of widespread, reliable charging stations globally is still a major barrier to mass EV adoption. Doesn't matter how good the car is, if you can't easily charge it everywhere.
True. That's an external constraint for the whole industry, really.
It is, but it directly threatens Tesla's growth ambitions.
Okay, so we've populated the four boxes for Tesla: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. But like you said, stopping here is just a list. It's not strategy. How do we actually use this information now?
This is the crucial step, moving from analysis to actual strategic thinking. You start overlaying these factors. The interaction between internal capabilities and external conditions reveals four basic strategic
Their
postures.
paths forward. Okay.
Let's start with the most ambitious one, offensive strategies.
Yeah.
This is where you combine your strength with market opportunities. We call it an ESSO strategy.
Strength meets opportunity. Makes sense. Go on the attack.
Precisely. It's proactive. You're using what you're already good at to seize favorable conditions and really push for growth, maybe even market dominance.
So for Tesla, use that strong brand and first mover status,
Yeah.
strengths, to aggressively enter those untapped global markets, opportunities. Maybe ramp up marketing focused on sustainability and tech leadership in places where competitors aren't established yet.
Exactly that. It's about leveraging your advantages to grab the low-hanging fruit or secure new territory. That's an offensive move.
Okay, strategy one, offensive. What's next?
Next up are defensive strategies. Here, you use your strength to counter external threats, an ST strategy.
Strength against threat, protecting your turf.
That's a good way to put it. Focus is on protecting what you have, market share. Position minimizing potential damage from outside challenges by relying on your core advantages.
Okay, Tesla example.
Yeah.
They have strong tech and innovation, strength,
Yes.
but face intensifying competition from legacy automakers rolling out cheaper EVs, threat.
Right. So a defensive ST strategy might involve leveraging that tech leadership desk to specifically counter the threat. T, how? Maybe by closely monitoring what competitors are doing in the budget EV space.
And then using their own innovation pipeline to quickly develop and launch more affordable models themselves.
Exactly. Expanding the product line downwards to ensure they don't lose relevance as the market broadens. Using a strength innovation to neutralize a threat, competition in new segments.
Got it. Offensive S, defensive ST. What's the third one?
The third is about fixing things internally to grab external chances. We call these reorientation strategies. This pairs weaknesses with opportunities, a WO strategy.
Weakness plus opportunity. So shore up your weak spots so you can chase an opportunity.
Precisely. It often involves internal change, investment, or reorganization. You identify a limitation that's preventing you from capitalizing on a market opening, and you address it directly.
Okay, Tesla. We talked about their sometimes inconsistent production capacity meeting demand weakness.
Right, a historical weakness.
But there's massive growing global demand
Exactly.
opportunity.
Perfect WO scenario. The strategy here could be actively seeking significant new funding, addressing W, specifically to build out manufacturing capacity globally to capture O.
That makes sense. Fix the bottleneck to meet the demand.
Or, linking back to the patents, if they see a huge market opportunity that requires maintaining a tech lead, they might need to reconsider the open source policy, addressing W, to protect that advantage. It's about changing internally to align with external potential.
Okay, that's clear. Reorientation, WO. That leaves one combination.
The last one, and often the toughest, survival strategies. This is when weaknesses meet threats, a WT strategy.
Weakness meets threat. Sounds grim.
It can be. This isn't about growth. It's often about minimizing damage, cutting losses, maybe even divestment. The goal is short-term survival when you're vulnerable internally and facing significant external pressure, high risk.
So if Tesla faced, say, major financial trouble, weakness, at the same time as severe competition and critical supply shortages, threats, a real perfect storm.
Yes, a true WT situation. The sources suggest a potential survival strategy could be something drastic, like exploring a merger with another major automaker.
Wow, really?
It's a hypothetical survival move. Why? It would instantly provide shared resources, maybe plug financial gaps, addressing W, offer greater resilience against market shocks and competition, countering T, and achieve economies of scale. It's triage, essentially.
Okay, four clear strategies emerging from the analysis. Offensive SO, defensive ST, reorientation WO, and survival WT. That
Yeah.
framework really brings the SWOT to life.
It moves it from description to prescription.
But let's pause and critique the tool itself. We've said it's widely used, but you also hinted it's maybe deceptively simple. Why do smart people sometimes end up with vague SWOT results?
That simplicity is absolutely its double-edged sword. The biggest plus is also a potential pitfall.
How so?
Well, the advantages are obvious. It's relatively quick, easy to understand, versatile across different situations. You can get a basic summary fast.
Yeah, low barrier to entry.
And it helps you think about risks proactively. Anticipating threats allows for planning. Those are real benefits.
What are the downsides?
The main one is oversimplification. You're forcing complex, nuanced issues into these four rigid boxes. Things aren't always clearly just a strength or a weakness.
Right. I can imagine arguments about where something fits.
Exactly. I've seen meetings get bogged down debating if, say, a particular company culture is a strength or a weakness, which often misses the bigger picture, and it can lead to really vague statements.
And subjectivity must be a huge issue, too.
Massive. The quality of the SWOT depends entirely on who's in the room, how honest they are, and how much they actually know. It's easy to ignore inconvenient weaknesses or exaggerate minor strengths.
Politics can creep in.
Always. And another key limitation is that it's static. It's a snapshot in time.
Right. The market changes fast.
Super fast. By the time you've done the analysis and written the report, the competitive landscape or technology might have shifted, potentially making your assessment outdated almost immediately.
So it's not a dynamic tool.
Not on its own, no. Which leads to the big caveat. SWOT is rarely sufficient by itself for major strategic decisions.
Okay, so summing up the tool itself. Quick, versatile, good for initial framing and risk awareness.
Definitely a great starting point.
But it's prone to oversimplification, subjectivity, and becoming outdated quickly. It needs more.
Exactly. Think of it as a valuable first filter. It helps you identify where you might need to dig deeper or focus resources. It gives you those four strategic directions we discussed.
So STWOWT.
Right. It tells you what areas might need attention, but it doesn't necessarily tell you why those external opportunities or threats exist in the first place, or how deep that internal weakness really runs.
So for you listening, what does this practically mean? SWOT is like the basic map, maybe showing the towns and roads.
An analogy.
But it doesn't show you the terrain, the elevation, the weather conditions. You need more layers of information.
You absolutely do. To get truly powerful, sustainable insights, you can't just list growing EV demand as an opportunity. You need to understand why it's growing.
That's where other tools come in.
Precisely. You need to layer on things like a PESL analysis. Political, economic, social, technological, legal, environmental factors to really understand the drivers behind those opportunities and threats.
Okay, so PESL gives context to the external factors.
And for the competitive landscape, maybe Porter's five forces to analyze industry rivalry, supplier power, buyer power, and so on. That gives depth to the competition threat.
Right.
And internally, you need robust financial analysis, operational assessments, maybe talent audits to truly quantify those strengths and weaknesses beyond just listing them.
So the final thought here is don't dismiss SWOT because it's simple, but don't rely on it alone.
Absolutely. Use its simplicity to get started, to frame the discussion, to identify potential strategic paths, but then immediately layer on those deeper analytical tools.
PESL, Porter's financials.
Whatever gives you the necessary depth and context. It's that combination, the broad overview from SWOT plus the deep dive from complementary analyses that transforms a basic assessment into genuinely strategic, robust decision-making for the long haul.
Fantastic. A great way to think about making this common tool much more powerful.